Welcome, everybody, to the Eyes on Big Podcast, your go-to Big Ten football podcast brought to you by the Amador Whiskey Company. I'm your co-host, Jeffrey the Greek, joined as always by...
This is Big Kurt here.
Big Kurt, you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter. I'm Big Kurt on Twitter at B1GKURT.
And I am Jeffrey the Greek at Jeff the Greek. Thank you so much for listening and downloading the podcast. We got the traitor pod tonight. We got a couple traitors in the Big Ten. We're going to call them out and discuss them. What do you think about that, Big Kurt? Yeah?
Love the topic.
So before we get to that, this, stupid, silly, right? Non-topical, whatever. Okay, so the wife and I got new like side tables or nightstands. You know, we had like a nightstand on both sides of our bed, okay? Old as shit. It's like, I don't know why we haven't replaced them for years, but it had... three pretty decent size drawers and then a, you know, a top and obviously a lamp and whatever we put on it. They're ugly. She wore me down. Like she don't want them anymore. So we got these like floating ones, you know, that look like they're, you know, like I had to attach it to. Yeah. So they actually look cool. I like what she picked out, but the drawers went away that were there. And she was like, well, you keep your underwear and your socks and, you know, like my, are you gonna find a place for it? And I'm like, I can get rid of enough clothes to, you know, fit in other drawers that we have in our bedroom closet, whatnot. Dude, I got on a streak on Sunday of throwing out clothes. I think I did math. Maybe I wear actually 18% of my wardrobe on a weekly, monthly basis. What say you?
Oh, I'm less than that.
Why do we have all these clothes?
You know, but at the same, I would say I don't have that many clothes, but then I will occasionally go through and clean house a little bit. And all I can find is like one garbage bag full of clothes to throw out.
So you're much more thrifty and efficient with your garment throwing out process.
Yet I am at a lower percentage than you of usage.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I wear two pairs of pants. That's it.
that's my point. And by the way, of the pants that I wear, 94% of them are Costco pants. And when a button pops out or you get a hole, you just toss them.
Yeah.
And you get a new pair. And I swear they're comfortable. We should be getting props for pushing Costco, but then shirts, I mean, basically it's the same three or four quarter zips that I wear. The shirts underneath them are inconsequential. And then it's workout clothes. That's it. Like the majority of my, you know, the clothes that I wear over and over again are workout clothes. That's the one thing you can only wear once. And you got to wash it. But yeah, pants, I'll wear pants, the same pair of pants all week long. Nobody sees me more than twice other than my wife. And she don't really care what I look like. We've been married for 10 years.
If it was socially acceptable, I would do one of those things where you hear famous people where they just choose an outfit and that's it. That's they own, you know, a dozen of them. And that's all they wear the rest of their life. That's what I would like to do.
Or the Seinfeld episode where she just keeps wearing the same dress over and over again.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. If you look good in it, right? You feel good in it. Why not wear it? And what was torture is the very first job I had at college. You had to go into the office. I had to go in the office every day. I've not had very many jobs like that since. And then you felt like you had to switch up what you were wearing because you can't wear the same thing every day. But even then, you got to know people's outfits because they just, you know, let's say they have eight outfits. Well, by Thursday of the following week, they're back onto what they wore on Monday. That's just the way it goes.
On the cusp of a new cycle, as they said in Seinfeld in that episode.
Yeah, sorry. I figured so, you... go ahead.
By the way, talk about having an actual office job you have to go in every day. In my whole career, I've had that for 2.5 years. It was my first job ever, and I've never had to do it again.
You know what? I'm the exact same. I got into an outside sales thing right after that. Like I was like 26, 27. Yeah, never looked back, really. Even younger than that. And you get to go back to an office, we're like a wild animal. We can't go back into the cage like that.
No.
But there's some people that would rather be in the cage than be the wild animal.
That's true.
And I understand that, but I just don't think we're one of them. Okay. Now on to the traitor topic. I think, are you good with that being the title of the podcast?
I mean, yes, absolutely. I mean, that seems to be, this is the biggest story, I think, by far, that we're going to talk about. And so, yes, I think we got to lead with it, and that's got to be the title.
And a couple of these, they're old traitors, so we could have recorded a traitor podcast last week. By just waiting around a little bit, we've had a third traitor added to the mix. So now it's a trifecta Touché. Of traitors. Yes. All right. First one up, and we'll pretty much do these chronological. I think this is how they went down chronologically. Trev Alberts leaves Nebraska as their athletic director to go to Texas A&M for the exact same position. What was your initial feelings when you heard that? What's your thoughts now?
My initial feelings, I didn't believe the initial report. I thought this has to be one of those accounts that's like one letter off, or that it's got a underscore at the end of it.
Yep.
And then you keep seeing it and seeing it. And, you know, at first it was like rumors, but then it was building. Then you saw reports, and then there was a bunch of reports. I just didn't, it took me so long before I actually accepted the news.
And that's,
it's so out of left field in so many ways here.
And that's an Illinois fan saying that. I, the Hawkeye fan, same thought process. I can't even imagine what a lot of Nebraska fans felt initially. I think we've seen their reaction since then, which I don't blame them. I mean, it's basically like a jilted lover type of deal. At first you're shocked, and then you get angry. I think that's,
yeah, but then hold on. But then you meet the guy you lost to, and you're like, that guy? Really?
That's a great point. And then what's even weirder is Trev is still texting us. You know, he's like,
right.
Have you seen what he's been doing? Like, he's been like, he congratulated the new AD, yeah, which we'll get to. He said a congratulations, I think, to like Fred Hoiberg when he maybe signed his new contract or something like that. It's like, Trev, buddy, read the room. Like, nobody associated with Nebraska wants to hear from you anymore.
No, just twisting the knife. So, you know, obviously the hometown hero, so to speak, yes, the Nebraska hero. And boy, does that guy talk a big game now that you look back at it.
Yes.
Talking about, you know, this is where I belong, and talk about leadership and transparency and all these things. And then to leave, to go to a place where don't get me wrong, we know that the football program hasn't been great. The basketball program is just starting to blossom, but Texas A&M is a disaster.
Yeah. And that's,
it's not only that, it is the most overhyped athletic department, I think, maybe in the country.
Maybe of all time.
So it's like, it's not like you're going somewhere where you're just going to plug in and automatically good things are going to happen.
Right.
You're going to have to put in work there too.
Like, Nebraska lost their president to Ohio State. Let's be honest. You're like, you know, that makes a little bit of sense, right? Go into that. But going from an athletic director to Nebraska to Texas A&M, I mean, I guess I call it a lateral move. So then you go to what you kind of touched on a little bit. Well, it's not the hometown hero, because as Nebraska fans have now pointed out, you know, originally he's from Iowa, Cedar Falls, Iowa, to be specific. So they said we should have saw it coming. He's from Iowa. They were able to twist it and somehow pin it on the state of Iowa a little bit. But in all seriousness, this is a Nebraska legend. This is a guy that played with one of his arms basically dangling off his shoulder to play in the game, and he's gotten credit for it. Has been around Nebraska, you know, down the street, being an athletic director. When he got hired, it's like he came home. He duped me. It sounds like he duped you. He certainly duped pretty much every Nebraska fan, except for people that have been attached to UNO, by the way, which is one of them. One of them is my father-in-law. But overall, I listened to the guy get interviewed, and you're just like, really impressed by him. That should be the person. Like, we just characterized the type of person that would stay and fight until the football programs win 10 games and like, and then he leaves. It's ridiculous.
And those are the kinds of things he preached, was stay and fight.
Yes. And
till the end, this is who I am. I'm a Husker.
And he just recently said it too. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
I don't blame the Husker fans for being pissed off. I don't blame them for the vitriol. I would feel the same way.
Everybody would. And we got more fan bases that have somewhat felt similar to that we'll get to. Shout out to my father-in-law, Joe. Played football at UNO. He was gone and done with football. And then by the time Trev came at to UNO, Nebraska, Omaha, for people who don't know, and he axed the football program. He also axed the wrestling program. And from what I heard, he axed the wrestling program about 5 minutes after they won a NAIA national championship. Also brutal. So anyways, you know, father-in-law is like, I was talking, this was like 2 years ago, a year ago or something like that. I'm like, Trev's doing a good job. And he's like, bleep that guy. You know, like he still hates him. Now my father-in-law has entered into that stage of his life where he's yelling at clouds. He's literally, you know, yelling at clouds, which I respect him for. Don't get me wrong. So when he was throwing out the Trev stuff, I'm like, okay, you know, but sometimes the guy that yells at clouds winds up being correct, which we might also get into in this podcast as well. So he was right. I was wrong. I don't know what to say.
For every 9 good clouds, there's a bad cloud. So if you're yelling at all of them, you're eventually going to be right.
Kind of like a broken clock, right? It's right at least twice a day. So, yeah, there you go. And by the way, I believe it was Larry the Cable Guy had labeled him Benedict Alberts. Pretty good. That's
Oh, that was Larry the Cable Guy that did that. Interesting. Benedict Arnold did some really good things before he became the traitor. So, I mean, it applies. It really applies here.
And now I feel like when you look like at paintings of Benedict Arnold, it kind of looks like Trev a little bit too. Like, I bet you if you got Trev in like the white, you know, hair and thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
We need someone to make a meme. There you go.
Somebody dress up Trev, full white hair, you know,
Revolutionary War era.
Oh man, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
And then skipping out of the chronological, because this just happened today, but Nebraska has hired, so they hired Troy Dannon. I'm laughing, Nebraska fans, because Troy Dannon was at his job for 5 months. So that's the Grandpa Simpson in the door, turn around and go right back out. You know, somewhat of a lateral move too, right? I mean, if Washington just about won a national championship in football, but he hires the new coach, Jed Fish, fires the basketball coach before he even has a chance to see if his new football coach is any good and hire a new basketball coach, he's out the door to Nebraska. Dude, this is just wild, wild west. It's just amazing.
Yeah. I guess we just got to get used to this.
I guess so. I don't want to. I'd like to think there'll
it's
be.
It's like college football has become the grass is always greener somewhere else sport.
Yes. And you know when it's getting crazy is when my wife finds interest in it because it's resembling a reality TV show that would typically have the word housewives in it. That's where we're at. We're in the.
Yep.
Yeah. This is. You know, housewives of the SEC or Big Ten that we're talking about here. It's ridiculous. By the way, I don't blame Nebraska for hiring Troy Dannon. So there's no judgment on Nebraska. Like if they think this is their best, you know, person candidate they can get in for the AD, you go get him. You don't care about if he's been at his job for 5 months or 15 years. You go get him. So that's what they did. All right, staying on the same topic here. Tony Alford, I think it was right after the Trev Alberts news, longtime Ohio State Buckeye assistant coach. I mean, this guy is kind of a tried and true Buckeye. He's had a ton of success. Obviously, there's been a lot of good running backs that has gone through Ohio State. I mean, I feel like Trey Sermon and Oh, what's the little guy I'm thinking about right now that we loved so much? That plays for the Ravens. I'm total brain fart.
Dobbins.
Dobbins, J.K. Dobbins. I love J.K. Dobbins. Anyways, other guys too. That's all been Tony Alford guys. Now, you don't expect a running back coach necessarily to stay a running back coach forever, but you don't expect him to now switch to be a running back coach, but at Michigan. I don't know, man. This might be as crazy as any of them.
It just tells me that something was going wrong there, that he was upset that he wasn't getting elevated, or he was upset at Ryan Day for a personal reason, or he didn't like the way that the schemes were looking. I mean, his running backs produced, they were great, but they usually weren't the focal point.
It's a good point.
Something else is going on here.
The focal point is pretty interesting. The focal point. And I will say this. Michigan fans, of course, are dancing all over Ohio State on this one, saying that's how big of a mess it is in Ohio State and under Ryan Day. I'm going to let everybody in on a little secret. Every athletic department and football program, to a certain degree, is messy. And it's been that way for a long time. Harder and harder to keep your dirty laundry hidden now than it was back when I played, for sure. But I'm just saying, the reason Michigan has an opening at their running back coach was because their legendary running back coach was upset because he got passed over and didn't. So this is an angry running back coach replacing an angry running back coach, and they go get the guy from a rival. It's bananas, man. It's bananas.
It just follows with the theme.
Yes. And I would also say, if I'm Michigan, if you have the ability, you lost your running back coach. If you have the ability to not only get an extremely good running back coach in, but also make your arch enemy weaker, good on you, Michigan. I just can't believe Alford did it. It's insane.
It's all right. Nutty.
And then on to definitely a more topical one as I exhale, because I really wish this was not one of the topics we were talking about. Caden Proctor, quote unquote, Iowa offensive tackle, has left Iowa. I mean, I think pretty much everybody listening to this podcast knows this story. To recap for the 1% of you that don't know, Caden Proctor, 5-star offensive tackle, state of Iowa, from nearby Des Moines, committed to Iowa for the longest time. Literally the night before signing day, switches to Alabama, goes to Alabama last year, starts as a true freshman at left tackle, which is pretty incredible when you consider where he's at pretty much anywhere, major football. Struggles at first, but man, by the end of the year last year, he was great. Nick Saban retires. He immediately jumps in the portal and comes to the Iowa Hawkeyes. Iowa Hawkeye fans happy, and you know, understandably so. He's there for, I think it was about 50 days. And so, as somebody pointed out on Twitter, that's shorter than Kim Kardashian's marriage to Chris Humphries, to try to give you an idea how short it was. Decides, no, I don't want that. And is not even able to portal out. He's trapped in his apartment until the end of spring football, till he can officially put his name in the portal. But he's done being a Hawkeye before he even has a Hawkeye uniform and is going back to Alabama.
How awkward is that? I mean, I assume he's going to move back to T-Town, right? He's not going to just stay in Iowa City.
Well,
he's got to work out.
He's got to work out. And I tell you what, if he goes to work out at the local gym, I'd be careful. There might be four deflated tires when he gets back out in the parking lot. So yeah, I would think he was going to leave Iowa. Like, the rumors are,
okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say this part is easily controllable. Right now, there are no guardrails for the players. They can do whatever they want. I mean, there are, as you pointed out, times you can portal and times you can't. So it's not like you could just leave today and officially be on the Alabama roster. You can't leave at halftime, let's say, and go play for the other team. But there's going to have to be they're going to have to become employees and there's going to have to be contracts.
It seems pretty obvious that we are heading to the direction of somehow this being regulated. As far as exactly how that's regulated, we don't know yet. As far as who's going to regulate it, I do think we know. It ain't going to be the NCAA. It's going to be the Big Ten and the SEC. They're essentially going to come up with a plan and dictate it to the rest of the college football community. You think I'm crazy with that?
And when I say, no, I think you're right. And when I say employees, I mean getting paid by the athletic department too, not by these NIL collectives. I suppose you could get paid by a collective too at that point. But by the way, if you're giving money to these collectives, you're a fool.
It's getting more.
You're already giving all this money just being a fan, and now you're paying the players who can just leave at any time.
Yes. We'll the next thing we'll get into is the difference between NIL and collectives and everything like that, because there's little nuances to it. The last couple of stuff on Caden Proctor, sounds like the girlfriend had a lot to do with this. Came back to Iowa to be with the girlfriend. Maybe the living back in the same area wasn't quite what it was cracked up to be for either him or the girlfriend. Went on spring break with his old Alabama teammates or some friends.
Oh boy.
And they recruited him.
Well,
why are you laughing?
Just because how stupid
it is. Okay, it's just stupid. I want to say this. I like people are saying tampering. Iowa fans are yelling tampering for Alabama.
Wait, there's no tampering anymore.
You. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Shut up.
Exactly. And if Kalen DeBoer told, if Kalen DeBoer found out, new Alabama coach Kalen DeBoer found out that Caden Proctor was going on spring break with five of his football players, if they told him that, it would be malpractice for Kalen DeBoer to not tell his players to see if you can re-recruit Caden back to campus. You're not doing your job if you're not doing quote-unquote slimy stuff like that. Do you agree?
Absolutely agree, 100%. I mean, we have now entered the slimiest realm that exists in the universe. So if you're not sliming it up, you don't belong there.
Correct. It's you're in the slime, whether you like it or not. So you better splash the slime around a little bit. So anyways, that's, you know, I wanted to make sure I just kind of pointed that out because there are no rules. So why would you try to follow any? Then that gets into, there was a little conversation I had in DMs today. So Iowa fans were this kind of transitions into like NIL stuff a little bit. The rumor last night, because we are recording this on, what is today, Wednesday. So this all hit yesterday on Tuesday, the 19th. So the rumor last night was that Caden Proctor got, I've heard, $500,000 from the collective, $850,000 from the collective, whatever it was. And that he gets to keep all of that, take it with him as he goes back to Tuscaloosa. And I kept, the point that I was most angry about was not as much that he was gone, which I'm not happy about, but that why in the world would you give anybody, let alone a 19-year-old kid, his entire salary up front? I mean, Kurt, no. You changed jobs like 5 years, 3 years ago, whatever it was. If your company was like, here's your base salary and we're going to give it to you up front, my thought process would be, did I just get hired by the stupidest company in the world? Like, I could work for three weeks and just go take another job if I don't like it. It made no sense to me why they wouldn't amortize the payments for that. Come to find out, that is what they do. It's typically a quarterly payout, how they're doing it now. And there are obligations that are typically involved with, for Iowa, and I'm sure every collective is the same, the swarm, that you go to like a kid's hospital thing. There's like a Iowa football thing at like a car dealership. Like there are things that you have to do in order to meet your goals to get your payment. So
I assume there is a actual contract that they signed too.
Oh, there's definitely a contract that they signed. Yeah. The details of that, no clue. I don't think anybody knows that. So he hadn't even gotten to his quarterly payment yet. I think that was coming up in April, I'd like to say. Should have just stuck around. Why didn't he just go through spring ball? Did he not
Okay, so he's being honest there, and he's actually saying, I'm going to transfer before I get my payment, or I'm going to declare that I'm transferring. So he's not going to get paid, and good for him then.
I guess that's a good point. You would rather he just took off now as opposed to taking reps away from who's going to wind up being the starting tackle. Yeah. So that's a good point there. But, you know, what I want to try to differentiate with people is that's what you get paid by the collective. However, the NIL is name, image, likeness. Just 3 short years ago, if Kurt went up to Isaiah, 2.0, if just 3 years ago you said, hey, good game on Saturday, here's $100 for you, you were busting an NCAA rule, right? Couldn't do it.
Yep.
You can do that now. Point I'm trying to make is under NIL, these kids can go get revenue however they want. So it doesn't have to come from the swarm. So what a guy necessarily gets towards the swarm, he could go out and, like, Caitlin Clark would be an example. Well,
that's a great example. Yeah, Caitlin Clark.
She, I wonder if she even gets money from the swarm anymore. You probably don't need it when you're getting paid by State Farm, Gatorade, and Nike.
So remember, the talking heads nationally, that's the only part of this that they were taking into consideration. They were saying, well, very few people have that type of marketing power where they can go out and get an actual endorsement deal. And that's true. But that you're ignoring the fact that now someone can just pay you and say, oh, you did what I asked you to do, which is nothing.
Yes.
But here's $100,000.
And I remember a certain college football podcaster and commentator that said, oh, stop. This isn't going to change the sport at all. The top guys in the top sports are going to get some money, but the backup left guard's not going to get money. That's not how this is going to go. And I think I remember us two angry guys yelling at Cloud saying, now, how would you know that? We've never gone down this path before. Why isn't it possible that all hell could break loose and guys could be getting paid and moved everywhere? It sure seems to be, Kurt, as I break my arm, patting both of ourselves on each other's backs, that we were more correct than the people that were telling us, don't worry, nothing's going to change. Everything's going to be exactly like it is, except these kids are going to make money.
Yep. And it all seemed pretty obvious. So then I have to wonder, are they intentionally trying to say, well, nothing's going to go wrong?
Back 2-3 years ago, you were saying that they were potentially.
Yeah, because they don't want gloom and doom, because they, you know, just want their listeners to keep listening to them, I guess.
I guess. I think listeners just want to hear honest thoughts from people that are somewhat informed. And sure, we're taking a victory lap. By the way, I wish I wasn't correct. I wish Braden was correct, because that's who it was who said it. But in this case, it's not. The real thing is bullshit fatigue, and it's setting in on college football fans. I see a comment often, you know, like I get that comment in DMs. I see it on Twitter. I've got text groups with buddies, you know, that are predominantly college football fans. You see these comments all the time, like the TV execs and non-adults are making these decisions with the fans nowhere near the thought process of how it would affect the end product. Another thing, if I could, because when we started this podcast, we very quickly said, you know, the players and coaches obviously matter, but we think the fans matter the most, because without us, you don't have a sport. I guess now is as good a time as any to reiterate, I still think that way, and I bet you do too, Kurt.
Yeah, and we were beating that drum early on and often, saying, hey, guys, we matter too. Now, okay, the ratings are great, so they can point to that and say, hey, we're doing a great thing, but they are doing a lot of things to turn off the traditional diehard college football fans.
Yes, and I do think we are getting close to, you know, the turning point where there's only so much money that can be made off these TV revenues. But I guess we'll see, because that brings us into the next topic very quietly. I mean, extremely quietly. ESPN has inked the ownership to the college football playoffs through 2032. That's 8 years from now, if my math is correct. So,
yeah.
And Kurt, I thought this was going to be like an ESPN and Fox thing, like CBS and Fox for the NFL. And we didn't get that at all, man. Like, nope. It's just ESPN owning the playoffs, billions of dollars they threw out there. Very disappointing.
And so I, like you said, under a cloak of darkness, this happened. You know, you turn around for a sip of Tang and all of a sudden Neil Armstrong jumps out of the lunar module and beats you to the moon. But like, was there any was this like an open competition? I haven't heard a single thing. It's almost just like, hey, we want to keep this going with you. We don't want to upset the apple cart.
And maybe Fox is like, we've got so much money already invested into college football and the NFL, leaving enough around, you know, or making the numbers work with the advertisers to also do the college football playoff. Maybe it didn't make sense for them. But I also thought CBS or,
yeah,
you know, essentially anybody but ESPN or ABC is who I was looking to get in there. Nothing. It's ESPN. And then there's this awkwardness where there's still a partnership with ESPN and SEC, but the two big conferences that are obviously throwing their weight around are the Big Ten and the SEC. So the ESPN needs the Big Ten because they're providing the inventory for three or four of the teams that are going to wind up in the playoffs. So it's just another, we've just signed up for 8 more years of awkwardness when you have ESPN people covering the Big Ten, or really for the most part, even any non-SEC team. Because you are not, it's going to be almost impossible to not pick out the favoritism towards the SEC team when you're hearing these ESPN people, because they want to pop up their own product that they're associated
with. I was going to say favoritism more than awkwardness.
Yeah, which, well, what leads to both. So,
yeah.
And again, on the lines of just idiocy and college football, Kurt, we haven't even seen the ball kicked off yet for a 12-team playoff, and we have already expanded to 14 teams. So for people that are lost,
it'll expand again. This is not the last time.
Because if there's more money at 16, why would you stay at 14? And the way I believe it, I mean, dude, I get lost myself, but I believe 2024, so this upcoming season, and the following season, we'll have 12. We'll be at 12.
Correct.
But then right after that, we're going to 14.
That's what I remember as well, the 26th season. Here's the good news, though. At least we're doing something unique and different. We're basically streamlining down to two conferences. Let's just call them Conference A, Conference B, and we're allowing 14 teams into a playoff. You know, nobody's ever done that before.
so unique. Now, of course, the difference here is we're also allowing some Canadian Football League teams to get into our playoff. That's basically how this is working out. What I'm joking is that's like a one, you know, group of five team will be let in. That's your Canadian team. And then I'm going to run out of professional football leagues to use here, but
XFL,
right. So
the USFL and now the UFL, the WLAF. You remember that one?
Dude, I can't believe you just ripped all those out. Nice work. But obviously this gets into the conversation that's also very topical right now. The Big Ten and the SEC are, you know, Russia and United States during the 80s, right? They are the obvious one and two players in this. They are dictating the rules to everybody else. They have just flat out thrown out there that they're like, since we are bringing most of the money to the table, we want most of the teams in and money back out of this thing. And there ain't a dang thing the ACC, Big 12, and the group of five teams can do about it other than saying, okay, but please let us have a couple spots, right? That's it. That's what's going on with those other conferences.
Correct. I mean, they're at the mercy of the Big Two. And now we see that the ACC keeps weakening. The Big 12 is already weakened. The Pac-12 is gone. I just feel like eventually they're, those are all going to fall off.
I hope not. I mean, I didn't like seeing the Pac-12 go. It would have been awesome. It would have been awesome to see the 12-team playoff if we had all of the Power 5 conferences intact. I would have liked to have seen how that developed over the years. Didn't even get a chance to do it. By the way, and again, for people that don't know, Florida State is doing what they can to get out of the ACC. They've been doing this for months now, pretty much ever since they got screwed in the last college football playoff format. Clemson now has joined, but here's the deal. They still have that grant of rights that's in place for like 8, 9 or 10 years. What it takes is, I believe, the majority of the teams in the ACC to break the grant of rights. However, if those other teams have no guarantee to get into essentially the Big Ten or the SEC, what would be their motivation to join on with Clemson and Florida State, even if Miami joins too or whoever? It's not there. I don't think those other ACC teams even want that smoke. They just want their ACC football conference for as long as they can get it. Every now and then, I've heard North Carolina is another one that's thrown out there, but you know, let's say NC State suddenly rises up and has a good season and they wind up going 11-1. They might get into the playoffs. That's good for them to take the risk to try to get into Big Ten or SEC, but then it unfolds and be left out in the cold like Washington State or Oregon State. That's what those ACC teams are scared shitless of. So they're not going to break the grant of rights. I mean, to me, that's just how it's going to go.
That's a good point.
Anyways, well, my last bullet point here is, how stupid is this sport becoming? But I guess the topics that we just went through tonight pretty much nailed why this sport's becoming more and more stupid.
Well, so it kind of comes full circle to our original topics, and the title of this podcast is college football is being a traitor to us, the fans.
That was well done.
None of us wanted this. None of the diehards wanted any of this. The reason we loved college football is so unique. Now it's becoming like professional sports.
Yeah, you nailed that there. That was awesome. Very poignant. You know, we're old enough, you and I, where we grew up in an era where we loved college football, but when we were kids, we didn't get to watch our team play on TV all the time. So watching your team play on TV was a treat. By the way, that you know, got you to go to the games more often so you could see your team.
Yeah.
Then we started getting the best of both worlds, where it was our old sport, but we got to watch our team play on TV most of the time. And then after too long, we got to see our favorite team play on TV all the time. I mean, certainly once the Big Ten Network. So, like, I guess we are our own worst enemy in that, because we gobbled up this TV so much.
Yeah.
That we then provided the noose for these TV execs to hang us from. But who's not going to take that? You know, who's not going to watch their team play? We had it perfect for a while there, but just like what always happens with humans and over history, when things get too good, that's when there's only one place to go from there, and it's downhill. And I'm afraid that's where we're going with a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. The sweet spot was probably somewhere in the early 90s. I'm thinking.
Yeah, I would say
maybe late 90s. Maybe
I would say late 90s. I would actually say into the early 2000s. I mean, we still had the sport there. There was a couple things, you know, Penn State coming on to the Big Ten and a couple quirky things that happened, but not huge ripple things and just ridiculousness that we're seeing now. So, yeah, I would say we had a good 20-year early 90s to into mid to late 2000s, but I guess those days are gone.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Well,
different times.
With that being said, different sport. Feeling good about your Illini end of the NCAA tournament? Looking pretty good towards the end there.
Oh boy, did they ever look good towards the end there? I mean, they're peaking at the right time. They definitely earned that 3 seed. I hate to say this because I'm going to sound like a Debbie Downer, but we almost kind of screwed ourselves getting the 3 seed because we're the lowest ranked 3 seed, right?
Right. Tough to bit,
but we're ending up playing the highest ranked 5 seed, really. But they got bumped down to a 6.
Correct. Like, so you could make an argument that it had Wisconsin won that game, and man, what a great Big Ten championship game that was. Kurt and I were
amazing.
Kurt and I were right outside the stadium on Friday. We never quite made it in. I made it in on Thursday night with the family. Fun times. What was I going to say? Had Wisconsin beat Illinois, you could make an argument that it would have been better for both teams as far as how the seeding would have went for the NCAA tournament.
But I'm glad to get a three seed. I'm just really hoping to make it to the second weekend. But if we can make it that far, you know, we would match up with ISU, and I want to see what we can do against a team like ISU. And of course, being in the same bracket as UConn, I'd love to get a shot at them if we could. But yeah, obviously, you got to take one game at a time. I obviously feel good about the first game, but a little nervous about BYU. I still think we could pull it off, though.
Yeah, I mean, right now, the way TSJ is playing, I mean, I don't know who's stopping that guy. So if you don't have an answer for him, which I don't think anybody does, there's one big thing you have there. They always say it comes down to guard play in the tournament. I guess technically he's a guard. He's whatever Illinois needs him to be. But long story short, if you have somebody that you know can get buckets, that typically works out well for you in the tournament.
That's a good point. And BYU, I guess, is not a very good team away from home either, which bodes well, especially for a Big Ten team. You know, no Big Ten team is good on the road in the Big Ten conference, but I think that kind of plays your favor because it's just so hard to win away from home. So
yep.
I feel good about getting the second weekend, but I'm also just kind of nervous.
Well, of course, when you become a three seed, all of a sudden it's one of those deals where you're like, yes, we got a three seed. And then it settles in and you're like, oh boy, it'd be really embarrassing to lose that first game or even the second game. Like, I'm assuming, kind of reading from your comments, Sweet 16. You need at least a Sweet 16 to feel good about how it went down, correct?
I'd feel pretty good about a Sweet 16
bid.
Anything else is probably gravy. Now, Illinois has lost as a three seed before.
In the opening round?
Yes, in the opening round, yeah.
3-14
game. 1987 versus Austin Peay.
Austin Peay, okay.
I think it was 88-87, I think, maybe was the final.
Well, Iowa State's lost as a two seed before, too. So maybe they're out of there before you even get there. And then just a couple more things on, you know, I'm not an anti-Purdue basketball fan. Some people are, okay. I'm not cheering against them in the tournament. With that being said, I didn't pick them in the tournament because, you know, the old expression, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. They've fooled me like four times. And I didn't pick them to get beat first round, but I don't know, man. It's hard to have a lot of confidence for Purdue to go far into this tournament because I need to see it.
No, I agree. And Illinois has kind of the same thing, just maybe a little bit less of that reputation because we haven't been up to the, you know, the Purdue number one seeds.
The Big Ten has.
No, that's not true. We did the one year. We lost in the second round, not opening round.
Okay. Yeah, and I would say it would behoove the Big Ten to just have a better NCAA tournament all around. Like, let's get a team in the Final Four at least, you know, and I would think the two teams that definitely have the best shot of doing it are Purdue and Illinois.
Yeah. Like, watch that Wisconsin game with my dad, who is a Badgers fan. That was an experience.
I kind of forgot about that. So you the Illinois fan, dad, the Badger fan. Interesting.
And I got to say, we just kept going saying back, this is the best game I've seen all year.
It was an absolutely, I was actually building this to bring the whole podcast back around. I was bringing the, building the side table floating, you know, end table things as I was watching that game. And it took me way longer than it should have because I kept stopping to watch the game because it was such a good game. And it did fill me with, you know, Iowa beat the heck out of Kansas State. I know it's the NIT, but, like, you know, it does kind of, like, the Big Ten looks a little bit better for basketball. So I've gotten my hopes up a little bit right towards the end here. We'll see what that does in the tournament. And by the way, Nebraska is everybody's darling in the tournament. Not mine, but other people's darlings. Maybe they can pull a gigantic upset the second game. We'll see. All right, man.
Yep.
Should we wrap it up?
Yes, indeed.
All right. I'm Jeffrey the Greek.
I am Big Kurt.
This has been the Eyes on Big Podcast. We'll talk to you soon.